Welcome to Psych Talk. I am your host, Jessica Lee, a licensed clinical psychologist. It is my mission to motivate, inspire, and educate you on everything psychology, mental health, and self-growth. Although topics discussed on this podcast are similar to therapy, Psych Talk is not a replacement for therapy and is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Whether you are a mental health professional or student in the social science field, are interested in psychology and mindset shifts, or are just interested in gaining skills and knowledge to grow into the best version of yourself, this podcast is for you. My hope is to provide you with knowledge and skills that you can implement in your daily life that add up to make a big impact. Let's dive into today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to Psych Talk. So the two last solo episodes I have done were not what I was planning to do, but given current events, I instilled flexibility, which if you know me in real life, you know that can be hard for me, and felt it was more important to speak on current events than what I was planning on talking about. So my last solo episode released June 13th, and I talked about mass shootings and mental health in light of the Buffalo supermarket shooting, the Uvalde, Texas shooting, among the hundreds of other mass shootings that have taken place in our country this year. If you have not listened to that episode yet and are in a space to do so, I encourage you to listen, and not just because it's my podcast, but I do feel like it is informative with regard to the conversation around mass shootings and mental health. So today, given recent events, I am going to be talking about abortion and mental health. So as anyone listening to this podcast knows by now, on Friday, June 25th, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in a 6-3 vote. If you have listened to my podcast for a while, you know I like to make my episodes as objective as possible, and I promise the bulk of this episode will be, as I will be digging into the scientific literature on the relation between abortion and mental health. But for right now, in the introduction of this episode, I do not feel right not letting my listeners know where I stand, because I know that this is a hot-button topic and can be very controversial. So if I'm being blunt, the overturning of Roe v. Wade terrifies me. It terrifies me as a woman with the capability of getting pregnant. It terrifies me as the mother of a daughter. It terrifies me as a psychologist to children and teens, some who have given birth or had a DNC due to a miscarriage. It terrifies me because of the implications of what this could mean, not only for abortion, but for birth control, for maternal death rates, for the LGBTQ plus community, for BIPOC community, disability community, other marginalized groups, etc. There's a lot of unknowns right now, and that is scary. So in case my stance isn't clear, I am pro-choice. And when I say I am pro-choice, I mean I believe that abortion should be safe and legal, and that it is not my right to decide what a pregnant person decides to do with their body or pregnancy. I believe that should be between the person and their healthcare provider. It also means I want to see abortion rates decline. I also recognize that the way to reduce abortion rates based on scientific literature and data is not to ban abortions. It is things like comprehensive sex education, increased access to birth control, increased access to health care, paid family leave, subsidized child care, an overhaul of the foster care system, among many other things. I already kind of said this a few moments ago, but I also hope and wish more people would recognize the full implications of Roe v. Wade being overturned. Like I said, it's not just about abortion. It's about miscarriage. It's about ectopic pregnancy. It's about septic uterus treatment, infertility, IVF, maternal mortality rates, birth control and Plan B, LGBTQ relationships, healthcare and marriage, interracial marriage, the impact on marginalized communities, victims of rape and incest, and so many other things. So I share all of this to let you know that if you are struggling with this decision too, that you are not alone. You can go to rallies, write your state legislators, get out and vote in November. I also really encourage individuals, and I've posted this on my social media platform a couple times, especially if you are a white individual, particularly a white individual that has a uterus, more specifically a cisgender heterosexual woman, I encourage you to listen to the voices of BIPOC individuals who have uteruses, other marginalized communities, because a lot of the anger and rage that we are experiencing right now, or that we feel, is what BIPOC, LGBTQ+, disabled, etc., all those marginalized groups experience on a daily basis. It is easy to feel hopeless right now. It is easy to feel angry, and our feelings are all valid. And we also can't sit back and not actively advocate for change and also listen to voices that we have probably not been actively listening to for years, if not centuries. So that's where I stand. I just felt like it was important going into this episode for people to know that. If you don't agree with me, that's absolutely fine. You can turn off this episode. If you don't agree with me and still want to listen, I greatly appreciate that. And if you do agree with me or have similar views, just know that you're not alone. So now on to what I actually want to talk about in this episode, which is abortion and mental health. So although I would love to talk more broadly about abortion rights, implication of overturning Roe v. Wade, etc., I recognize that this is a mental health podcast, and I want to stay in my lane and talk about things and research I'm familiar with and can understand. So often I have heard the argument from individuals who are anti-abortion that getting an abortion has negative effects on mental health of the person that had the abortion, whether that be trauma symptoms, anxiety, depression, or some other mental health outcome. This argument is often used to defend laws that restrict access to abortion. However, more than 50 years of international psychological research shows that having an abortion is not linked to mental health problems, but restricting access to safe, legal abortions does cause harm. So I want to also note that when I go through the research, I will most frequently be using the term woman, as that is where the literature is, but I do acknowledge that it is not just women who get abortions, as trans men, non-binary, and other gender non-conforming individuals also seek and utilize abortion services. So if I do use the term woman, it is not to be exclusive. It is based on the specific research that I looked up and read for this episode. So first, I want to talk about the similar research outcomes among individuals who obtain an abortion and those who are denied an abortion for various reasons. I want to start with this because I feel like comparing mental health outcomes of people who all wanted abortions but had different outcomes, either being able to get the abortion or it being denied, has more implication and is more related to what our country is currently facing, with abortion access being restricted, than compared to comparing individuals who got an abortion to those who never had nor desired one. So the Turnaway study is a longitudinal study that compares the effects for women who have and women who were denied an abortion and follows them for 5 years. Some of their results were similar across groups of individuals who were able to receive an abortion and those who were denied an abortion. So I wanted to share those. I do want to note in this study, abortion was the intentional termination of an unwanted pregnancy. I note this because, contrary to popular belief, this is not solely what abortion is. Miscarriages are called spontaneous abortions. They are abortions, and particularly ones that require medical intervention. The procedures used to either get rid of the fetal tissue that did not pass on its own are the same interventions used for an intentional termination of a healthy pregnancy. Ending an ectopic pregnancy, treatment for septate uterus, and stillbirth treatments are also all abortions. However, these statistics are not talking about those. It's talking about the intentional termination of an unwanted pregnancy. So with regard to depression, Women denied an abortion were just as likely to experience depression as women who had the procedures for 5 years after. In both groups, a reduction in depression was seen after 5 years. Throughout the five-year study period, women who received abortions were at similarly low risk for experiencing suicidal thoughts, with less than 2% of those in the abortion group as women who were denied abortions. With regard to anxiety, although women in the denial group experienced more anxiety, both those who received abortion and were denied abortions experienced a reduction in anxiety over the five-year period. So, to put it in other terms, we did see heightened anxiety in individuals who were denied an abortion, but we did see trends of decreasing anxiety in both groups. With regard to post-traumatic stress symptoms, women who obtained abortions were not more likely to experience post-traumatic stress symptoms than women who carried an unwanted pregnancy to term. The most common reasons women gave for experiencing post-traumatic stress symptoms were prior experiences of violence and abuse, and I'll touch on that a little later as well. So similar to the Turnaway study, a 2008 study by the APA Task Force found that women who had an abortion in the first trimester did not face a higher risk of mental health problems than women who continued with unplanned pregnancy. So ultimately, much of the literature, particularly those with the highest quality, suggests minimal differences in psychological well-being between those who access abortion care versus those who have been denied treatment. So now I'm specifically going to talk about mental health outcomes after abortion. So the Turnaway study, which I mentioned previously, is a study of more than 1,000 women across 21 states, and it found that among those who were allowed to obtain an abortion were no more likely to report negative emotions, mental health symptoms, or suicidal thoughts than women who were denied an abortion. Additionally, more than 97% of those studied said that having an abortion was the right decision over 5 years after having the procedure. Large longitudinal and international studies have found that obtaining a wanted abortion does not increase risk for depression, anxiety, or suicidal thoughts. The most significant factors associated with experiencing depression after seeking an abortion are having a previous history of mental health conditions and a history of child abuse and neglect. Women with a history of depression, anxiety, and child abuse and neglect are more likely to experience anxiety symptoms or clinical anxiety after abortion than those without that history. Women who receive an abortion experience higher self-esteem in the short term, which is defined as less than 6 months in the Turnaway study, compared to women who are denied abortions. However, by 6 months through 5 years after seeking an abortion, women who received and women who were denied an abortion had similar levels of self-esteem and life satisfaction. Women seeking later abortions, which was defined as after the first trimester, did not experience more symptoms or cases of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, or suicidal ideation than women obtaining a first trimester abortion. Women's self-esteem and life satisfaction levels are similar between women who obtained abortions in the first trimester and those receiving later abortions. Women obtaining later abortions have higher levels of stress than women who have first trimester procedures 1 week after the abortion, but by 6 months, these stress levels are similar. When we look at data from 5 years post-abortion, there is no evidence of emerging negative emotions or abortion decision regret. One study by Steinberg in 2020 found that both positive and negative emotions declined after the first 2 years and plateaued thereafter. At five-year follow-up, 84% of individuals in the study had primarily positive or no emotions about their abortion decision, and only 6% expressed primarily negative emotions. In the study, 99% of individuals felt that abortion was the right decision at year five follow-up. Additionally, relief was the most commonly felt emotion at all times over the 5 years post-abortion. Now, obviously, some people will experience negative mental health outcomes after having an abortion, and I always want to keep this podcast and my research for episodes as balanced as possible. Thus, as I said in my mental health and mass shooting episode, some of the data I present may seem contradictory to other data I present because I'm looking at various studies. So, for example, The APA Task Force on Mental Health and Abortion in 2008 found that some women experience sadness, grief, and feelings of loss following termination of a pregnancy, and some will experience clinically significant distress such as depression and anxiety. So in this study, 1.5% of participants at 2 years post-abortion had symptoms of PTSD specific to their abortion. Individuals who feel pressure to abort, contrary to their moral beliefs, have elevated rates of mental health problems compared to those who do not feel this pressure. There's also a difference between individuals experiencing difficult emotions after an abortion and those whose emotions constitute a diagnosable mental illness. The majority of individuals who receive an abortion report at least one difficult emotion or negative reaction to their procedure. However, the majority do not experience a diagnosable mental illness due to their abortion. I want to also note that studies have found seemingly opposing feelings exist after getting an abortion, as it can be both a stress reliever and stress inducer. So in one study, the majority of individuals surveyed felt relief after termination, and almost one half of those had parallel feelings of guilt, loss, grief, or emptiness. Another study found that 56% of women had both positive and negative words to describe their upcoming abortion. 33% of those surveyed chose only negative words, and 11% chose only positive words. Yet another study found that 51% expressed feeling mostly positive emotions, 20% felt none or few emotions, 17% felt mostly negative emotions, and 12% felt both negative and positive emotions. There is also some evidence to suggest that immediately after the abortion, individuals feel more positively. However, over time, difficult emotions arise. So for example, one study found a significant decline in depression symptoms 1 to 2 hours after the abortion. However, depression symptoms rose at 1 month and 2 year follow-up. So the best predictor of mental health after an abortion is mental health prior to the abortion. However, there are a variety of other risk factors for mental health concerns after an abortion, including perceived pressure from others to terminate the pregnancy, terminating the pregnancy that is wanted or meaningful, perceived opposition to the abortion from partners, friends, and family, lack of perceived social support, feelings of stigma, exposure to anti-abortion picketing, low self-esteem and low perceived control over the person's life, use of avoidance and denial coping strategies, feelings of commitment to the pregnancy, ambivalence about the abortion decision, low perceived ability to cope with the abortion prior to its occurrence, and a history of a prior abortion. So there is general consensus that women with a history of abortion have higher rates of mental illness compared to similar women without a history of abortion. However, there are always going to be exceptions. For example, a Dutch study found that abortion did not increase the likelihood that women had incident or recurrent mental health disorders 5 to 6 years post-abortion compared to those who do not. Thus, many researchers agree that the increased rates of mental illness among those who have had abortions, when found, is due to pre-existing mental health issues rather than the abortion itself. Therefore, higher rates of mental illness following abortion are really a continuation of pre-existing mental health issues. And I already mentioned that the individuals that are a risk for mental health issues post-abortion are the ones that have mental health issues pre-abortion. So the ability to identify individuals who are at greater risk for negative mental health outcomes has resulted in recommendations for abortion providers to screen for these risk factors in order to provide additional counseling before and after an abortion. So taken together, when we summarize the total trends in the data, ultimately studies find that individuals who have abortion experience a mixture of both positive and negative emotions following the abortion, with relief being one of the most predominant feelings. The intensity of emotions tend to dwindle over time, but the feeling that the individual made the right decision remains consistent. And like I've already said twice, that the best predictor of mental health outcomes after abortion is mental health prior to the abortion. So now I want to talk about mental health outcomes of being denied an abortion, given what is going on in the United States right now. So research shows that people who are denied abortions are likely to experience higher levels of anxiety, lower life satisfaction, and lower self-esteem compared to those who are able to obtain abortions. With regard to anxiety specifically, women denied abortions experience more anxiety than those who receive one in the months after seeking an abortion, and levels of anxiety were highest around the time of the abortion denial. Stress levels are higher among women who seek an abortion and are denied one compared to those who sought an abortion and received one. Individuals who are not denied an abortion are less likely to have aspirational life plans for the coming year compared to those who had the procedure. Individuals who are denied abortions also have worse physical health outcomes than those who receive abortions. For example, chronic pain, gestational hypertension. And then if we're looking at the Turnaway study, two individuals died from childbirth complication in their study. These individuals, so the ones that are forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy to term, are also much more likely to experience serious complications from the end of pregnancy, such as eclampsia, compared to individuals who carry a wanted pregnancy. Individuals who are denied abortions also have worse economic outcomes than those who seek and receive them, including more frequent bankruptcies and evictions and a high chance of living in poverty. After being denied an abortion, women in the Turnaway study were also more likely to stay linked to a violent partner or raise children alone. So we know from psychological science that an inability to obtain an abortion increases risk for domestic abuse among those who are forced to stay in contact with a violent partner, putting both them and their children at risk. All of these factors I just talked about, so the physical health, the economic difficulties, can increase stress levels and subsequent mental health concerns. I also want to highlight that people seeking abortions aren't the only ones harmed when abortion care is denied. So children born as a result of an abortion denial are more likely to live in poverty and experience poor bonding with their mothers. Studies also show that children born in such circumstances face a range of social, emotional, and mental health problems that continue into adulthood, including more psychiatric hospitalizations than their siblings or other children of a planned pregnancy. I do want to acknowledge that what I just said could potentially be controversial, as a common rebuttal I have heard when facts like this are brought up is, so you are saying we should kill them instead. I am not saying that. All I am saying is what the research says. So thus far, I've talked about the mental health of individuals who desired to get an abortion for an unwanted pregnancy. However, as I mentioned briefly earlier, this is not solely what abortion encompasses. Thus, I also wanted to spend some time talking about the mental health outcomes for those who've had an abortion for a wanted pregnancy. So from my research, there's not a lot of data on this topic. If you specifically try to search something along the lines of like abortion for wanted pregnancy. So just to be transparent for my search, I did include words like miscarriage, ectopic pregnancy, stillbirth, perinatal loss, etc. Because despite what people may argue, medically speaking, those are all abortions. So with regard to spontaneous abortion, such as aka miscarriage, women report symptoms of depression, grief, and anxiety with higher levels among those who miscarried within the past 6 months. Similarly, a systematic review of perinatal loss, which included both miscarriages and stillbirth, showed that compared to controls, risk for depression and anxiety was higher. However, there were no significant effects for post-traumatic stress outcomes. Another systematic review that included miscarriage, stillbirth, and ectopic pregnancy found higher levels of depression after miscarriage when compared to non-pregnant comparison group within the first 2 weeks after miscarriage. Depression levels after perinatal loss tend to decline over time. Anxiety levels after perinatal loss are higher than a control group, with decline seen over time in most studies. And similarly, PTSD symptoms after perinatal loss appeared greatest within the first month after the loss and decline over time. Among individuals who plan and wanted a pregnancy but terminated in the second or third trimester due to a life-threatening birth defect, they face the same psychological problems after the procedure, including post-traumatic stress syndrome and grief. However, these are comparable to mental health problems among individuals who miscarried or lost a newborn, and less severe than the distress among individuals who delivered babies with severe birth defects. So in totality, if I had to summarize mental health outcomes of those who experience an abortion, induced or spontaneous, after a wanted loss, we see higher levels of anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress than compared to non-pregnant controls. Although I did not see any studies comparing the termination of a wanted versus unwanted pregnancy specifically, based on what I have read about the two separately, it appears that mental health outcomes are worse when the pregnancy was terminated but it was wanted versus when the termination was of an unwanted pregnancy. However, there would obviously need to be scientific research to confirm that. That is just my perception based on trends of the articles I read preparing for this podcast episode. So, next, I'm going to talk about the implications now that Roe v. Wade is overturned. So as I stated at the beginning of this podcast, the implications now that Roe v. Wade is overturned expands beyond abortion itself. Given that the mental health impacts of denying abortion extend far beyond the procedure itself, and we know from research that the mental health impacts of denying abortions tend to be worse than getting an abortion for an unwanted pregnancy, we need to consider this issue in the larger context of society. So with state-level abortion bans that have come with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, individuals seeking abortions in those states face a variety of new barriers. For example, they may incur additional costs for out-of-state travel, lodging, and childcare to make a trip out of state while missing work. They may need to tell people about the pregnancy and abortion to elicit help from others, even if they don't want to, or they might be forced to wait longer for an appointment. All of these challenges, in addition to the challenges simply faced by increased restrictions, add up to more psychological stress. The growing cost of obtaining abortion will weigh heavily on people with fewer economic resources, and we know financial stress is associated with a range of poor mental health outcomes. Research has shown that people who face logistical barriers to accessing abortion care, including increased travel time or difficulty scheduling appointments, have more symptoms of stress, anxiety, and depression. Loss of autonomy, such as being forced to wait for an appointment or disclose a pregnancy, also has the same negative psychological effects. Banning abortion also further stigmatizes it, and we know there's already a stigma around abortion, and stigma harms mental health. Women in the Turnaway study who felt that they would be looked down on by friends, family, and community members if they had an abortion were much more likely to report psychological distress years later. So the American Psychological Association, or the APA, released a statement after Roe v. Wade was overturned addressing how restricting access to abortion will likely lead to mental health harm. I'll put the link to this and other sources I use for this episode in the show notes. But basically, their statement was that this is going to be psychologically harmful. We're going to see increased rates. I don't think they put this in their statement, but I have seen things online about potential increased suicide rates for an individual who doesn't want to be pregnant and can't obtain an abortion. So, in conclusion, policies based on the notion that abortion harms mental health of those who seek them is not supported by evidence. Abortion does not increase risk of experiencing symptoms of depression, suicidal ideation, post-traumatic stress, anxiety, or stress in the short term. Having a later term abortion is not associated with adverse mental health outcomes compared to obtaining a first trimester abortion. Other factors such as prior mental health issues, history of child abuse, neglect, sexual assault, and intimate partner violence are most strongly associated with experiencing adverse mental health outcomes following abortion. Compared to having an abortion, being denied a wanted abortion may be associated with greater risk for experiencing adverse psychological outcomes in the short term. So thank you all for joining for today's episode of Psych Talk. I recognize that my last two solo episodes have been pretty heavy topics, but I feel like it's important to talk about relevant topics going on in our country, or if you are listening from another country, letting you know what's going on here, although I feel like most people are well aware. I hope this was informative, that you learned something, and feel free to share it with anybody that you think would be helpful. So thank you for joining for today's episode, and I will catch you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Psych Talk. I hope you found so much value. If you loved what you heard or gained some knowledge, I would love for you to take a screenshot, put it on your Instagram stories, and tag me at Jessica Lee, PhD. Additionally, I would be honored if you leave a review and 5-star rating so I can continue to help this podcast grow. If you are not already, follow me on Instagram and join my Facebook community, Grow Through What You Go Through. Thank you for joining me today, and I cannot wait for you to join me during the next episode. Remember, you are loved, you are worthy, and you are braver than you know.